Hi, Carm Capriato here. Welcome to episode 394, survey results that will help you understand and align what quality employees really want. Tom Hamm is here to share the results from Automotive Management Network. Now, here's a preview.
The 401k comes up there as third. The four-day work week is something that is popping up that didn't used to be. And you're hearing that technicians ask about that now.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Hey, welcome to a casual interview with a lot of hard information on what our industry's top employees want from their employers. Carm Capriato here, and I'm with Tom Hamm from AutoCentric in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and president of Automotive Management Network. Hey, I want to welcome a new sponsor to the Remarkable Results Radio podcast, Apex 2019. You know, shop owners, Apex is the one event that you just can't miss. Mark your calendar now for Tuesday, November 5th through Thursday, November 7th at the Sands Expo in Las Vegas. For information, visit aapexshow.com. Hey, don't forget, podcast is the new personal education tool for the forever student. Now, thanks for being in our ecosystem, traveling in our orbit of education, and learning with the smart context of the aftermarket. Listen to learn just one thing every day. Now, you hear me talk about that all the time, and you have over 500 library choices that I know will scratch your need to know and learn. Hey, did I tell you that Andy Bizzim said to me that the podcast is like your own personal 40-minute 20 group? When you commit to podcast as an educational tool, you'll be surprised how you will prosper. But remember, you have to put your new ideas into action. Hey, a big welcome to Tom Hamm. He's been a great contributor to the podcast. I know you've enjoyed his contributions as he is so dialed into the pulse of the aftermarket. You know, besides being a shop owner, Tom is CEO of Automotive Management Network, a great online resource for everything aftermarket. I check out Tom's surveys from AMN regularly, and they are eye-openers. I thought creating a podcast to brainstorm some survey results would serve the aftermarket well. Well, we dive into technician-related surveys about common reasons for techs to be fired, what quality employees really want, why technicians quit, why techs change jobs, and finally, technician complaints. I'm sure your interest is piqued. Let's jump in, get the key talking points, Tom Hamm's bio, and links to his previous episodes at remarkableresults.biz/E394. And now, the survey says. Hey, a warm welcome to Tom Hamm from AutoCentric in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Hey, Tom, and also from Automotive Management Network, and excited that you're bringing some of the survey information that we get from AMN, Tom. What a great service you do for the industry. These surveys are wonderful. What do you do, one a week?
We do about one about every 2 weeks to get enough feedback on them, to get enough numbers. 2 weeks is about the right cycle.
And I love the data because you're actually asking someone to not only take the survey, but at that moment in time, they could see the exact answers that were given.
They can see, like you said, and they also, there's room to comments on the website where they can add comments. Sometimes they do. One thing we like to point out with these surveys, a lot of places do surveys, and often they're somewhat entertaining, they're fun, and so on. And we went out of our way with these surveys. When you look at them, they're not just fun. They're specific management surveys because they're taking an issue that shop owners look at, or technicians in some cases look at, and they want to know, what do people feel about this? How are people handling this? So they're very much management tools where you can answer some of the questions. You know, you wonder who to ask. Well, go to these surveys. We may have asked that question or asked something very similar to that. You can look at the results and get a really good idea on what people are thinking.
And the feedback is, Tom, thanks for handling this. It actually confirmed what I was thinking or feeling.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are surprised by the answers, because we often anticipate the answers that are incorrect. And a lot of people just sit there, and I believe we got 60 or 70 surveys on there right now. And we keep them all. You can see them all. We never pull them down. The results are always there for eternity, if you will. People will go through them. They'll spend an evening or whatever going through all those surveys and just looking at the answers to every one of them just to learn.
we have a bunch of technician-related surveys that are here in front of us that you've kind of, if you will, pulled together, sent them to me. You and I have talked about them, and we really think it's important that we kind of bring and bubble up to the top some of these great answers. And in fact, I think the number one survey we want to talk about is what quality employees really want. And this is from a technician's perspective. And I think that's the beauty of the data that comes out here. I am not surprised as to the number one answer, appreciation.
I think some of us are surprised and some of us aren't. It's such a touchy-feely answer, if you will. The number two answer is pay, but the first answer is appreciation.
Well, they're close.
It's really interesting. I think a lot of people might think that the appreciation one is further down the line and say something, I don't care about that, I just want my money. But according to this, it's number one.
Appreciation for a job well done. I mean, that's basically what it's saying. I guess the point is, and for everyone who's listening, do we say thank you enough? Do we put our arm around the shoulder of our peer, our worker, our teammate, and say, wow, you know, it was smooth as butter today. Thanks for all you did.
Yeah. And now some people, depending on what kind of personality you are, some people are very, that just is a natural thing. And other people wouldn't do that if their life depended on it. There's just no way, because that's not their personality. One thing that I've started doing just in the last few years that kind of has to do with this survey and some other feedback we got is I make sure that I touch bases, at least say something in some way to every employee every day. It's very easy to go for days or not more and or more, especially if you're up front and they're in back, to actually never, and you're not a service advisor, for instance, to not even talk to these people for days. It's very easy to do.
But Tom, how do you do it from the Southern Command?
Well, from the Southern Command, we have everything with chat and cameras, and we use Slack and so on and so forth. So it is digital, but we do, you know, every Monday, you know, what'd you do last weekend, et cetera. It's not a big deal. It's not a long conversation, but it's at least touching bases. So they go, oh, he's there and he's at least somewhat interested in me.
Okay. No, I totally love it. When you're an owner who will spend some time, as you do in Florida, and you still have a very active role in the business, what a great idea. Slack is a great tool, by the way. I use it in my company. And sometimes all you're looking for is that one word answer. How was your past weekend? Birthday party. You know,
I actually have that on my, I'm a checklist person, so I've got checklists for everything. And one of the things on my checklist is, touching bases with every employee. That's right on my list. It's early in the morning. And I make sure I check that off and say something to everybody every day. Not a big deal, but it's something we probably should do.
Well, thanks for the feedback on that. Number two, a fair pay system, and that intrigues me. I've seen the surveys from ATMC that the aftermarket has 80% is not flat rate, and that it is some form of bonus. Hourly and bonus or incentive. What do you read into this fair pay system?
I'm actually going to kind of blend the second answer with the third answer, which aren't that far apart, which is enough cars to service. It is amazing. I've been in the business well over 40 years now. And those two things today come up in the technician interviews more than anything else. Are there enough cars here? Hear that constantly from everybody. And what's the pay system like? In other words, not just how much, but, you know, how does it work? And just lots of detail on the pay system and enough cars to service. Those two are just constant themes.
So, Tom, the fourth and the fifth regarding quality, what quality employees really want, these were technician answers, was correct equipment and tools and a clean shop.
Yeah, I think that's more important now than it used to be. I think more employers are providing that. Don't hear that as much in interviews, but it certainly showed up high on the survey.
Amazing. Clean shop. Isn't it a given today?
Oh, I don't think so. I've often said that I've been in a lot of shops, and I didn't want to particularly pick on anybody. I'm not going to mention anybody, but and you have too. And if you were a technician, you know, I'll reverse it and interview you here. If you were a technician, of all the shops you've been in, how many would you work in?
The industry has obviously not gotten on board the value of environment.
Now, they really haven't. And it's just, this happens to mention clean shop, but we're talking about clean shop, organized shop, dry shop, warm shop, noise levels or things that can be done with that. And just the whole, all the, I don't know, ergonomics and everything else of working in any kind of a work setting. There's so much that can be done and there's often so little that is done. So that's something that needs to improve significantly.
Well, thanks for that. There, you know, in order to find out the rest of the items that are on the list, please go to Automotive Management Network, look up the surveys. And this one was titled What Quality Employees Really Want. There were about another five there as they descended in rank. Tom, let's go to the one that the owners replied to, the survey that says, what are the most common reasons for techs to be fired at your shop?
The results of that survey really surprised me. I guess question number one didn't surprise me so much. 60% of the folks, and people could have multiple answers here, so if you're adding up the percentages, they won't add up, that's why. But 60%, 3 out of 5, poor work quality and comebacks. And that makes sense. Matter of fact, as some people say, I might even expect that to be higher. It's the second question that amazed me. The number two answer for letting employees go, they were either late or they didn't show up for work. I mean, didn't we learn this in kindergarten when we were five or whatever? And we 42% of the firings have something to do with not being to work on time or not showing up at all. It is just staggering. So it shows you kind of the flip side. You know, technicians want better things. And some of the owners would say, you know, I want a better package out of these technicians, too. I mean, it's reasonable that I ask for people to show up.
Okay. That, later, no show for work is a, you know, personal discipline and a commitment. Wrong person in the wrong job?
Our culture in this industry is lacking. Hard to say that correctly, and not trying to pick on anybody in particular, but we've accepted this rather lower culture where just the performance of civility and everything else is just rather low. And I mean, some owners as well as technicians. And it's just, it's really sad. And it makes it difficult today in an environment where the customer perception is so, so critical to have folks that really don't match what you're trying to project for a reputation or an image.
Shop owners, Apex has got to be on your calendar for 2019. Now, I've attended for many years and will be there again in November. Now, first off, there's something for everyone who works in the shop. Just look at the training alone. Last year, Apex offered an entirely new program on shop technology, as well as servicing electric and alternative fuel vehicles. And sessions are taught by the best trainers in the industry. Apex also is your go-to place if you need tooling for the shop or if you want to see the latest new products. You can even talk with engineers who design scan tools and other products, or visit with the industry leaders who are working on your behalf to keep you on a level playing field with dealers and vehicle manufacturers. Hey, don't miss out. Mark your calendar now for Apex 2019, Tuesday, November 5th through Thursday, November 7th at the Sands Expo in Las Vegas. To learn more, visit aapexshow.com. Let me say this. If I commit to the employee, I'm the owner. I commit to the employee. Is that enough to make the employee to commit to the work, to the job, to the company?
Well, it certainly should be a two-way street. That's reasonable. I mean, if you're going to, you know, I do see that from technicians. I'm not going to, you know, the technicians have a lot of legitimate beefs on one hand. On the other hand, I hear from some technicians, especially, where they really seem to think it's a one-way street. They want 1 through 10, and they don't want to give a whole lot back. That makes it rough from that side.
Well, maybe they've never been in a giving and a sharing and a high-culture environment either.
Well, I think we're in a different culture today overall. We get into that discussion. It's not just automotive. It's the entire industry, because if you, I mean, you know this as well as I do. If you talk to anybody in any kind of business nowadays, self-employed business, you ask them what their number one problem is. I don't care if it's a restaurant or mini golf or whatever. Can't get employees. That's what everybody says. There's ways of fixing that in our culture. We don't seem to be interested. So until we decide to fix it, it's going to be a big problem.
The number three answer was dishonest.
Yeah. And if you look at one of the other surveys there where the technicians were complaints about employers, that had about a third of them said the employer's dishonest. So it was that bot matched on both sides, you know, which is really sad. And I, you know, some of it may be a perception of misunderstanding, where it really wasn't dishonesty, it was misunderstanding. But obviously, there's got to be quite a bit of that dishonesty going on. And you can't have any kind of a successful business employee-employer if you can't be honest with everybody.
Based on all of these surveys that I saw, and as I looked at these, and I started to realize, you know, we've interviewed a lot of great people on the show that have made major changes in their culture. They've, you know, they drew the line and they said, this is what's going to happen. We're going to make the leap. And we're going to grow, and we're going to bring the vision, mission, and values into our business, and we're going to wrap ourselves up around our people so our people can wrap themselves up around our customers. And many of them say that when they start that, sometimes half the people are gone over the course of a year.
Well, I was just thinking of that as you were saying it. It's somewhat tied in, but I remember I know it was a news item earlier this year, and I forget which major industry it was, but they said as far as their qualifications for employees, they were dumbing them down a little bit. One thing they eliminated was drug testing, because they all failed the drug test, so we're just going to throw that out. I'm not sure that pretends a good future, but yes, it is a real balance. How do you have some reasonable standards that you set for employees and still have employees?
Well, you know, just to tell the audience, the fourth answer for what are the most common reasons for techs to be fired was low production. Next was refuses to follow shop policies and procedures, which I can get if the changes are underway to reform the culture, and then causes too much stress. And that sounds like a fitment problem right there.
If you've been around this industry for a few years, you know exactly what that is all about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. A survey question answered by techs: if you have quit a technician job, what are your main reasons? And number one answer was pay too low.
You know, of all the various things going on, and again, you know, I'm giving my perception, I'm sure other people have different ones, but of all the issues, this pay thing I perceive as being fixed more rapidly than almost all the other issues.
Interesting point.
That's what I see, because I'm seeing technician pay virtually skyrocket, in my opinion. And the thing that has to go with is labor rates, and they're skyrocketing too. That's what I've seen, at least in my world. I do contact a lot of different people, and they've both gone up a lot, and they're still climbing. So that's been a thing for years. And, you know, technicians especially, I hope you're paying attention that this one is getting fixed. At least it should be. If it's not getting fixed, you might want to look up the road. You might find it just fixed somewhere else.
Tom, what is the seed of that change? Why do you see that happening? Are they becoming better business people, owners?
No, I think this is simple supply and demand. There's not enough qualified good employees, technicians. I mean, they have all the good abilities of a technician, and they show up and they're honest and all those kind of things. And when you add that up, that number is just massively smaller. When you go through, it's interesting. If you do a resume search on something like Indeed, and you use the terms auto technician, something to that effect, you'll come up with hundreds and hundreds of hundreds of resumes where that was one of their previous jobs, but that's not what they're looking for now. So I think just massive amounts of people have bailed out of the industry. They've gone to other industries. There's very few left. And simple supply and demand. People are paying them. They're outbidding each other. And the pay keeps going up. And the better businessmen, dealers, and everybody else figure, well, if we're going to pay the tax more, we got to charge more. So the labor rates are going up with it. And it's just a spiral. It just keeps feeding on itself right now.
Will a technician who is not going to school, training is the word I really should have used there, and contributing and being productive, is he going to get more money? Or are we paying for just the standard, or are we paying for performance?
You're paying for performance for the most part.
Okay.
you know, it's really about what can you do for me?
So if I was an owner and I'm sitting down and say, I know what I got to do in order to keep my people and to engage them at a higher level, but I'm not just going to go all of a sudden give $2 an hour raise or whatever the number is. We're going to sit down and we're going to say, listen, I got a plan and here's how we're going to get you there. You do this for me, I'm going to do this for you. Is that what you see going on?
Yes, that's a good way to put it, sure.
The rest on that list, if you've quit a technician job, what are the main reasons? Number one, pay too low. Number two, employer dishonest. And you had just mentioned that a bit ago. Number three's answer was unfair pay system.
Yep.
And the fourth answer was labor times too low.
Yeah, now let me jump in here at that moment. If you take the top four answers, three of them have to do with pay. They're all pay, pay, pay. And then the employer dishonest, that might have to do with pay too. So you might even say the top four have something to do with pay.
And then the fifth one was employer or other employees hard to work with. And that's about team building. It's part of culture too.
Yeah, that has to do with maturity. And there's a lot of, there's a lot of immaturity in the culture nowadays at all levels, employees, employers, and things that could be improved on. And you know, people need to learn, do a little bit better.
Okay, wonderful. I'm loving this because I think this is some great insight for the listener of the podcast. And of course, your great site, Automotive Management Network, is what a great tool. If you've not visited it, please go there. Here's another one, Tom. As a technician, which of these items would make you consider changing jobs?
Again, this is a good example of a management type survey. Because we're, the employers are out there, they're looking for technicians. So, what do they need to do to get them?
So the results of this is if I was getting ready to hire or to interview, and I knew that these were the top five questions, I would not want to sit across from a technician worthy of coming to work for me and not answer these top reasons.
Yeah, answer them. There's changes you have to put place in your business to accommodate some of these, and some of them are interesting. Traditionally, we haven't thought about that kind of thing. Health insurance, number one answer, which is basically tied with no weekend or evening hours, and a lot of shops have to really, get on board with that. A 401k comes up there as third. The four-day work week is something that is popping up that didn't used to be. And you're hearing that technicians ask about that now. It really is a change in environment. If you look down this list and just use it a checklist for a shop, do you have really good health insurance? Are you closed on weekends and evenings? Do you have a 401k match? Do you have a tool allowance? And it's amazing how many shops would answer no, 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 and no. And if those guys are saying I can't find technicians, I say, well, I know why.
Okay, so the chance of hiring the person who asks for all of that is
zero.
Okay, and if the person who you hire, those things don't matter, what's the quality of the person? And I don't mean that they probably wouldn't be good with their hands and have a certain skill level, but are you hiring a pair of hands? Or are you hiring a cultural fit, someone to join the company to really, come in and rock your world?
Yeah, I think in that case, and I think you can run across it, and I think sometimes you're hiring somebody who's naive and they're just not aware of everything that's going on. And the point is sooner or later, they're going to figure it out. They're going to go to enough clinics and talk to people and go, huh. And they won't be there long unless you really start, you're going to have to start doing this stuff, if you want any kind of decent employees.
That's a great point to bring up. Sooner or later.
Yep. Sooner, probably sooner.
Probably sooner than later, which
yes,
gives you some time to probably get some of these things in action. But, if I was an owner and I didn't have any of that, I would look at an Everest solution to solve all of those inside my company.
The answer is in your labor rate, without oversimplifying it. And then, of course, that generates the thing, I can't raise my labor rate where I am. And unfortunately, sometimes that generates the answer, well, you need to move. If you're going to have all this stuff, you've got to have a decent customer base. You've got to have a decent facility and the various benefits that go with it. And just the days of not having that aren't there anymore unless you want to kind of subsist at kind of the bottom end.
The final survey that we're going to talk about today is, as a technician, please check your top complaints from the list below. I think all of these kind of tie in a little bit. The top complaint, Tom.
Cutting and reduced labor times. This one, and of course, these have to do with incentive pay systems, but sometimes I wonder if employers realize how big that is. A lot of times, technicians, they will complain about it almost quietly. They won't say anything, even if you ask them. But boy, they're watching those labor times like a hawk. And if they don't think they're fair, they don't have a real good opinion of you.
That was rated at 58%, so that was pretty high on the list.
Yep. And the second one ties right back into this pay system. So we're right on that pay thing again.
You talk about a common denominator among all of these. It's not hard to figure out what you have to do in your business. Politics in the organization is number three. That's interesting.
Yeah, I find that interesting. I guess I don't have a lot of experience with it. It probably, I'm guessing it's more applicable to larger organizations. There's a lot of people running around. I either am somewhat naive about it, or I'm just haven't really seen that much in my experience.
Well, okay, so you've never allowed that to fester in your company?
Not to a significant degree that I'm aware of, anyway.
Got it. Okay, and so
I have to interview my employees.
You know, is politics in the organization, does it have anything to do with bullying, do you think?
I don't know. My impression is that's overstating it a little bit. What you have, this goes back to the personality thing here too. And you know, if you're, you get into the politics, you hear that more, I think, at dealership level than you probably do at the independent level, where there's a lot of technicians and a lot of people running around there. And of course, the technician who's, you know, smart, you can debate on how you want to define it. But the smartest guy down there, I mean, it comes, whether it's Christmas time, Labor Day, or whatever, I mean, he's out and he's buying a case of whatever kind of adult beverage and some nuts and various things. And I don't know, maybe some dollar bills, and he's dropping them off the service advisor desk. And he always has enough work to do, you know, and that's politics.
That's politics.
You got to be willing to play if you're going to be in that kind of a pond, you know, or you're going to lose. You can complain about it, but it's not going to get any better. You just have to play.
It's not camaraderie, right?
Not at that level. I think there is to some degree, but it seems a little bit more cold at the dealer level, a little more personal down at the independent level.
Do you think there's some dealer techs answering this survey?
Oh, absolutely. I know there are.
Okay, good. The next one was tools required, cost of tools.
You know, that one, in a sense, that shouldn't be in there. From my point of view, my point of view today is that the a technician should need, you know, a really nice, good, complete set of hand tools. You know, most technicians will come out of, if they go to some kind of trade school, they'll come out with a good set of, you know, basic tools from one of the tool companies or whatever. And they can add to that by, you know, getting even more sophisticated extensions and all the different Kai sockets, everything. But they, in my opinion, they shouldn't need a lot beyond that. When technicians start talking about having their own scanners and having all the, it's kind of like, come on, where do you work? You know, aren't they supplying this stuff? So after you get a really good set of hand tools, and from time to time you buy something that one of the tool companies comes out with, it's a little bit more cool, you shouldn't be spending massive amounts of money on tools.
But why do some techs prefer to do that? Why do they say it doesn't matter? I want to get it. I want to own it.
Well, for two reasons. You know, one is you can talk to the spouses, and there's a lot of techs out there, tool junkies. They're going to buy the latest thing that, you know, ABC tool came out with. They're going to get one. I may never need it, but I want one in my box. You know, you see the pictures of the toolboxes, so on and so forth. I think that's part of it. There is a more practical part of it too. Although again, this applies more, I think, to the dealership and the bigger organization. And that's just efficiency, because the reason I have my own scanner is I don't want to wait a half hour to get the other one. You know, I want to be able to pull it out of my box and go. So I understand that to a degree. But I could probably also make the argument that if you have that kind of situation in your facility, then maybe you need more scanners.
What about the thought that someday I'm going to open my own shop and I might as well invest now?
Oh, I think that realistically, half of the better techs already have their own shop. It's not just one in 10 techs does side work. Most of them do. to varying degrees, and it goes everywhere from a little bit of side work now and then to a whole second business. That's a real common issue. We can get off into other areas there.
Yeah, we could. And I guess I almost don't mean to belabor this point, but if a shop owner was more proactive in buying those more expensive tools, would he be preventing from side work or building a greater degree of loyalty because the person could not necessarily leave and go to a shop that doesn't provide the tools?
I don't necessarily see that so much. No, I think it's a different deal. There's just a whole lot of there's a whole lot of money there, tax-free money. Most jurisdictions or whatever you want to call it, they'll in a heartbeat get on a hairdresser or somebody, but they'll let the mechanics go probably because they take care of all the township clerks' cars and everything else, so you can get away with it. Nobody enforces the laws. It's huge. Side work is absolutely huge.
And then finally on your top five here on that, under this question, as a technician, please check your top complaints, health insurance. Amazing how all this stuff ties together.
Yeah. You got a common theme going. We just keep coming back to the same things over and over again. That's a cultural problem that we got so many. You don't know where the health insurance deal is going to be 12 months from now with all the governmental stuff going on. So you just got to keep up with it as best you can.
So what do you see 2019 looking like as far as in our industry? Continued consolidation? Are we ever going to take some really big, bold steps as an industry to make the improvements we need to do, as we talked about earlier, in our culture? You see labor rates and pay going up. What else?
All the benefits, like we're talking about here. I think it's going to, the better shops, the ones at the top, are going to be the ones stepping up. And the better technicians are going to improve and get better. The top work is going to end up at those places. And there seems to be a thinning already of the shops are dropping away. I mean, we've been talking about it for decades on how the shops are going to thin because of the technology. Well, it's actually starting to happen now. It was a theory for a long time, but it actually is happening. They just can't do it anymore. So since there are good profits, there's owners that are willing to spend the money and put that money out there, get what they need for the employees, do all the stuff to their facility and make them better. And you're seeing nicer facilities all the time.
Training, Tom. Are you doing a lot of surveys on training, the needs, the wants of training?
Training does not seem to be, from the people out there in the field, as important as what other people think it is, for a variety of reasons. It does not have the same importance level. We need a better delivery system. We need ways to make the training easy, fun, seriously, attractive, where people really want to do it. Something simple that we do, and I hear more shops doing it nowadays, but still not real common, is at our shop, technicians get $20 an hour seat time for going to classes. That completely turned around at probably tripled the number of, or quadrupled the number of training hours that occur among our whole staff per year than it was prior to that. They'll go to any class now. Previously, it was just hard to get people to go. I mean, and I can understand they have families; they want to go home in the evening. It's been a long day, and they don't want to go sit in the classroom somewhere. But give them a few dollars, and then they're happy. Spouse is happy. Everybody's a little bit happier, and they learn something too.
Do you schedule around daytime training?
Daytime training is a tough thing. The labor rates are going to have to go up a whole lot more to get that. Having people at training in a lot of industries is built into the whole cost of doing business. It's not built into our industry. And we send a technician away for training. We have the, especially if it's a 2-3 day deal, we have the cost of the training. We have the cost of the hotel and the transportation and the class. And we got the whole deal, but that isn't the big cost. The big cost is the thousands of dollars in revenue that go away because he's not there turning wrenches.
How do you handle vacations and sick days? Same concept. It's built into the cost of doing business.
That's more built into the cost of doing business. Training isn't. Not daytime training.
But daytime training should be. And if a company came in and offered an 8-hour or 6-hour daytime class, starts at 1 o'clock, for example, in the afternoon, couldn't you not schedule around it? And don't you believe that the tech's productivity over time will pay for that?
Oh, I think you can schedule around it. Can you make it up? I think you can make it up. It's probably a question of, how long is that ROA? I think there's going to be some skepticism there that is this training actually good enough where it's going to compensate for that lost time to make them that much more efficient? I don't know. That's debatable. I bet you get shop owners argue that one back and forth.
Well, I think by the time this episode comes out, we will have already done a Town Hall Academy on this. And I can't wait for it. And it's actually in a couple of days. So everyone will know the day we're recording this. And we're going to have some people coming on talking about daytime versus nighttime. Hey, I so enjoy this. You've got always a great perspective and a view on the industry. And you know what? Thank you for bringing these questions, first of all, for having them and putting them on AMN, and then bringing the answers here to us and having an open discussion.
Yeah, we want more material. I mean, the latest survey that we just did, you supplied all the material. I put it into a package, but you actually created it and gave me all the material for it. And we'll obviously take more from you. And there's other folks out there listening to this. If you've got something that you look over our surveys, you say, why don't you ask this? Well, hey, get a hold of me. I'm not hard to find. We'll put the survey together. We'll ask it. Sure. We'd love to do that.
Perfect.
For you.
Tom Hamm from AutoCentric, Grand Rapids, Michigan, and the chief cook and bottle washer from Automotive Management Network, talking to me from Southern Command.
The Southern Command in Southwest Florida.
Hey, will you come back one day and let's do an episode on how you actually run your business from the Southern Command?
Oh, sure. Well, you're going to see that because you're coming down here. You're coming down here and you're coming over to the house and you're going to see how this all works.
God, I can't wait. Cool. that'll be in a few months. Excellent. Thank you, Tom Hamm.
All right. Thank you. Have a great day.
Hey, thanks, Tom Hamm, for discussing these surveys and getting your opinion on these topics. You can find this survey and a ton of others at automotivemanagementnetwork.com. There is a link in the show notes at remarkableresults.biz/E394. Hey, thanks for listening. I'm sure you agree. Your learning curve never sounded this good.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.